Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Hemp Hours. This morning, you'd never believe, I'm on time. I've got this summary. I've got this great show planned, okay? And I even went by the wonderful Zev and got the reggae. So 3 out of 3 ain't bad. It's perfect, man. This is going to be a great show. On today's show, my Esperanza, that's the Greenpeace ship. They were down there chasing whales, but now they're up to something new, and I'll tell you about that. Tasmania, the government down there is corrupt. I don't know if that's seditious. I better say that this has got nothing to do with this station, MFM, just me. I'll give you some information on that. Also, I hope I get to say this right, how much diesel does a diesel truck suck? How much do they cost to run? And they got coal mines, they got heaps and heaps of trucks out there. So not only are they taking stuff out of the earth, they're also using stuff from the earth to get it. Tuvalu, they had, that's the climate refugees, they had the high tide that was predicted, and I would let you hear the response of the people, because it's beautiful. LA Cal update, and yeah, so that's on, but there's also this is on as well. What's happening? Where's the Esperanza going? Okay, it showed about the whaling, right? Now it's out to show about pirate fishing. Pirate fishing, I think they did a really good job with the whole whaling thing. I've just randomly turned on the telly and here was this guy from Japan just getting drilled by, I don't know, one of those shows, you know, like 60 Minutes or something, about why he's doing that. And it came down to, the woman's gone, could you say that Japan is doing this as a matter of pride of country? And the Japanese fellow responded by saying, yes, well, pride is a very important thing. Last I heard, pride was a sin. So that's a kind of really, really strange reason to do something.
Hear them say, dreadlocks get living a tenement. Dreadlocks get living a tenement, yeah. Dreadlocks get living a tenement, yeah. Too much watch you. Dreadlocks get living a tenement, yeah. Dreadlocks get living a tenement, yeah. Too much watch you.
Yeah, so Greenpeace has taken it upon themselves to now tell people about pirate fishing. They do this by getting money off people and sailing around in a boat called the Maya Esperanza. And since I'm doing this show, I'm going to take it upon myself to spread the knowledge that they want people to know so much, because it is important. The less colourful name of it is illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing. What happens is there's people with great big boats go down and steal the food resources and income of people with little boats. The economics of it, because, you know, economics is so important for some reason. It's about For the U.S., Somalia, if you take it in U.S. dollars, they lose about $300 million a year. Guinea loses about U.S. $100 million. Globally, we lose more than $4 billion to our economy from these pirates. They don't fly. This is the funny thing, the traditional flag of the pirates. What they do, however, is buy flags off the internet for about $500 US, from countries that don't really care about their fishing policing. They've got bigger problems. They buy the flags from Malta, Panama, the Honduras, and the Grenadines, as well as other places. And then they fly those flags while they're fishing. So no one can check on them because they don't come under anybody's law. But these guys who don't actually have enough resources to ensure that people aren't pirate fishing. Now, to the environment. So that's why it's bad for us, but for the environment, what happens, say shrimp, okay? They'll get about 3 kilo, for 1 kilo of shrimp, right? 1 kilo of shrimp, 3 kilos of tropical marine life gets caught and then dies. They just use nets where they go through. It's been likened to clear felling in the forest because it doesn't just take the wildlife, it destroys the environment that they come in. So this is what's happening. It counts, like say for shrimps, sticking with the shrimp thing, although it's like a 1-to-3 ratio, you get 1 kilo of shrimp and lose, like they just grab the fish out of the sea and other stuff, turtles, and then because it's not viable on the economics market, they just throw that stuff back, even though other people could be eating it. So that's like about 4%. Of the world fishing industry, that like economically it gives us about 3-4% of those figures, but it contributes over 27% of the unnecessary destruction of marine life. The idea to stop it is to stop selling the flags for a start, because then these people, you know, I mean, I know that you can just probably make a flag if you were game enough, but they could stop selling the flags. We could all find out about it and pay people to have big boats to go get them. I don't know what else. I'm still stuck with that whole issue of it's happening globally. So how do you just not get stuck just in one valley, protecting one little valley while they rape the rest of the planet? So I'll get back to you when I've figured it out. I'm not giving up until I do.
A big question posed to me daily on the street. Anyone to know the reason why? There was a certain Rasta man, and he loved all the children, and he treated us like a man. Even the little cannot give up at all, man. Brother Brown, Brother Foose, Brother Tom, Brother Stanley, man. I used to hear them beat the drum and sing, we're in the forest land, hey. Why am I a Rasta man? I love the beat of the Naya Bingi that calls on creation. Everyone see I, everyone ask that. Why am I a Rasta man? The truth is on a pen is not the same. You put a smile like a pin.
Tasmania. Tasmania has had such a long battle. They've got some of the most beautiful land in the world down there. It's just spectacular. That guy that wrote The Lord of the Rings, he lived there. He lived in Hobart before he wrote or during the writing of Lord of the Rings. So I don't question where he got the idea of ants from. That's those big tree creatures that look after the forest. This is the best name I've heard for a rally in ages. They had a rally yesterday, which is Whose Island, Yours or Guns? When does the Guns is the company destroying Tasmania wholesale? They make wood chips, which they sell to Japan. State government of Tasmania gets about $13 a ton. They Guns Limited get about $100 a ton, and then we buy it back as consumers from Japan in forms like toilet paper and packaging and paper in general for about $1,200 a ton. So that makes heaps of sense. You know, I was fruit picking for a while down there in Tasmania, and here's this truck rumbling past with these big, beautiful old trees. And I was fruit picking with these Tasmanians, And they all were outraged. Like, they couldn't believe it either. They're down there scratching their heads, going, as you know, they knew about it. You know, these were fruit pickers. One of them was the owner of the, or the son of the, this generational family that owned the fruit trees, and he was like, yeah, but the problem is, if we let the greens in, they'll make us dig up our vineyards. And I was like, oh, really? I didn't know that. And so I went and inquired and thought about it, and that's not true. What is true, however, is there's a really, really aggressive campaigns down there. Once again, NIMFM is not responsible for anything I say. I'm just reading it. Okay, I'll give you an example. All right? This was in the 3rd of March, 2006, Australian Financial Review. Okay? Now, I'm going to read it word for word. A controversial election tactic involving a secretive group has surfaced in the Tasmanian election, writes Julie McCann. I guess I should have been shocked, but I wasn't, because that's how business is done in Tasmania, says Bob Cheek, who's the former leader of the Liberal Party in Tasmania. He's referring to the night he was summoned to the Launceston office of John Gay, who's the chief executive of Gunns Timber Company. In his book, Confessions of a Ferret Salesman, Cheek says that just weeks before the last state election in 2002, Gay offered him a donation to the Liberal Party, $10,000, no strings attached, and another $20,000 if I could guarantee we, the Liberal Party, would continue with our policy of supporting logging in old-growth forests and clear-felling, Cheek says. Cheek took the $10,000 donation on behalf of the party, but he says he declined the $20,000 offered by Gay because he personally wanted to change the policy, even though he knew his Liberal colleagues would not. They were all too subservient to Gunns, especially Renee Hidding, now leader of the Tasmanian Liberal Party. I didn't see the $20,000 offer as a bribe because I was only leader of the opposition, and that's how things are done in Tasmania, Cheek tells the Australian Financial Review. Yeah, it's the election this March 18th, so that's tomorrow. He's hoping. Gunns owns 185,000 hectares of freehold land already in Tasmania. It manages about 110,000 hectares of plantations. The company employs about 1,700 people and has a turnover of about $700 million. So this is money made on Tasmania's native forests. They, as members of the Timber Workers Union, they helped John Howard win the key Tassie votes, because that's the union they were in. They were told to vote, well, it was given them the idea to vote for John Howard, because that was a very good political tactic to make sure that they won, because there were contentious seats and all they had to do was say two little words and get them, which is a great way to run politics, according to John Howard. It's good that they have this big rally. They've got at the moment the Wilderness Society and people like that doing this rally on Thursday, and they've got advertising campaigns on telly talking about coming to this rally and stopping the old growth, and other parties as well. This party that's running ads on the television down there at the moment is called Tasmanians for a Better Future. Now, there was in 1989 a group called Concerned Citizens for Tasmania, which there was ended up being a royal commission into. But these Tasmanians for a Better Future are saying, don't give the Greens control of a hung parliament. You know, like, we want to know that tomorrow is going to be just like today. And so when there was, under law, it's all been followed law, so it's really hard to find out who it is that did it. But they do know that the people that did it, their lawyers or something, which have also worked for Gunns and other companies of a similar stripe in past actions. So, yeah, so it's on. It all happens tomorrow. I'm pretty hopeful and positive that they're just going to see reason, and they're going to go, no, look, this is really dumb. We can see the globe now, and the globe's really huge. And when you look at the amount of trees on Tassie and the size of Tassie, we realise that we've got this really, really precious resource. Not toilet paper. Not toilet paper.
I got to get away. I gotta slip away sometimes. Oh yeah. I got to slip away to my special place. Oh, oh, oh yeah, on a cloudy day.
Yeah, anybody who wants money, there's this group, the Australian Government Enviro Fund. They're now inviting applications for funding. It's the Australian Government Enviro Fund. It's a local action component of the Australian Government's $3 billion Natural Heritage Trust. So it helps communities undertake local projects aimed at conserving biodiversity and promoting sustainable resource use. It's like for people that want to plant trees and stuff, I guess. Community groups and individuals can apply for grants of up to $50,000 to carry out on-ground and other actions to target local problems. The applications for Round 8 close at 5 p.m. on Friday the 28th of April. You need to get an application form to fill out, and it must be received at the EnviroFund office in Canberra before that date. It's got like a whole bunch of different things, because this is like round eight. Round seven was specifically targeting some areas. This is more across the broad. It's been described as a normal range of activities. So yeah, if you want $50,000 to plant trees, that's what you do. And the web address is www.nht.gov.au/EnviroFund, all lowercase. I'll leave this in the Environment Centre so that if anyone wants to look that up and go and get money and plant trees, or, I don't know, clean up creeks or something, yeah. That's the number. Here's some more music. Guess what? Good news. There was actually, I feel kind of bad because there was heaps of good news. If you want to know a really quick tip for how to research this stuff, if you're interested about it, is you just go on and you find the sites, and then on the internet, and you get them to be you join their mailing list. And that way they send you info, they send you the stuff, and it's really well set out now. Wilderness Society does it beautifully, so does Greenpeace, where the home page, which is pretty much what they send you with the newsletter, when you can get to it through the newsletter, but it's got all these very short stories about all the different stuff, so anything that you're interested in, you just click on, and it'll take you to the story, and then once you get to the story, it's got this story, and then it's got, if you want to get more scientific about it, press on this link, and if you want to get less scientific about it and see some pretty pictures and, enjoy the art behind it, then, click on this site, and so you can sort of go through and follow your passion to whatever information it is that you think that you can help by learning. So, that's a very good way to search. The other thing is Wilderness Society and Greenpeace and those guys, if you sign up as a member, then they start sending you mailing lists. Well, I reckon they should do that anyway. They've got heaps of members, so they've got plenty of money. And if someone can't get on the internet but they do want the information, then they should send them the information anyway, and I think they do. If they don't, when you ask them to, get up them if they don't, because they should. It's what they're there for, is to spread the info. So that's one of the services they should provide.
Whoa! 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 Whoa!
How much, I've got to say it again, I laughed when I made up. How much diesel does a diesel truck suck? It's a really good question, because you got these trucks flying around trudging around in these coal mines, getting out more coal and more oil and all these things. These diesel trucks, you see them everywhere. They're all over our country. They fly around the place. How much do they use? I've got one of those, well, my friend Steve spoke to my friend Peter kind of things, but okay, for a coal mine that's taken out about 10.5 million tons of coal per year, okay, they would use, and this is judging on an 80% availability, okay, so of all the trucks that are running, only 80% of them are going most of the time because they break down all the time, but they consume just under 70 million litres of diesel. So they're getting 10.5 million tonnes out of the ground for future use, which was created years ago, and they're expending 70 million litres of diesel as well to do it. It's pretty dirty. Not only that, they get help, right? The 38 cents a litre rebate from the government they get. So they get about $26 million a year from the government, going, well done, lads. Good job. Keep it up. Tuvalu, right? I love these guys. I don't know why. As soon as I heard about their plight, I was interested immediately. It's and I think I figured out why now. Because wait till you hear what I've got. Tuvalu, right? It's this bunch of islands that they only are 3 meters above sea level. Okay, so that's it, right? Now, the All Australian scientists working for the South Pacific Sea Level and Climate Monitoring Project predicted a high tide, the highest ever, and it was reached at 5:26 Tuvalu time, PM Tuvalu time, on the 28th of February 2006. Now, lucky for the Tuvaluans, there was no storm as well, because pretty much it just came up and went down again. The last time when they did get devastated was because there was rough weather as well, so instead of just seeping out of the ground, it came in waves. But it rose, they predicted 3.2, it rose to about 3.4, and a lot of the areas were inundated. Some of the places, it's funny, like the weirdest, this is Dr. Hayes wrote that the weirdest part of what happened, from my point of view, was how fast seawater seeped out of the ground and how fast some of the burrow pits flooded over. The burrow pits that he's referring to are areas of Funafuti that were excavated by the Americans during World War II in order to build the airport runway. Okay, so the areas around these pits are where most of the flooding occurs during high tides and storm surges. Okay, the people weren't hit very hard. Like I said, there was no storm, so it just kind of went up and went down again. However, all right, now, I love these people, and I don't know why, I just really, their plight is so passionate, I feel it evokes passion in me. And then I read this, and I realized that how beautiful these people are, right? So their place is just flooded, right? They're getting told by everyone that it's not going to stop, that this is going to keep happening. And these are some of the words, direct words from people that live there, from the Tuvaluans themselves, okay? This is Manice Lefay, who lives there. Things were not as dry elsewhere. Malu Tavita, which is next to Panipasi, didn't have to go anywhere to catch his dinner. He netted quite a school of fish in his kitchen. Now, the tennis court went totally underwater, and when I was there, someone was fishing out 2 drowned pigs, just the right size for a barbecue. The church was underwater a foot. Another fellow's house went under 4 to 6 inches of water. The neighbouring houses were slightly higher, and they survived. But most spectacular is my friend Jeff's floating castle. I got there to find all the kids from the neighbourhood enjoying the afternoon swim in his veranda. And this also served beautifully as their diving board. Man, these people are facing these atrocities that aren't caused by them. And yet, they see 2 drowned pigs and they see them as the right size for a barbecue. Their neighbours flooded in and they see it as a great place for the kids to swim. The kitchen is no longer functioning as a place to cook food, but it's okay because there's food there. You know, I love them. But the causes of climate change, because of climate change, the Tuvaluans, they reckon that it's going to be uninhabitable within 50 years. There's a 9,000 strong population there with nowhere to live. I agree and with them, but they want to make sure it's a mass relocation. So not the way they put it is to make sure the Tuvaluan language and culture is preserved instead of being scattered to the four corners of the earth. Because they do have a beautiful culture and a beautiful truth, and if all these people go and have to live with other people and learn, other people's cultures and fit in, it doesn't sound right. One of the ideas was to move them all to one of the islands of Fiji. I still reckon we've got plenty of land and we should move everyone out of maybe Evans Head. Get everyone in Evans Head to pack up and move somewhere else. I'm sure if we took them around one by one and showed them the devastation that they were responsible for on the planet, you know, got them out of Evans Head and showed them the rest of the world where there's African kids starving and water being polluted, and I'm sure they wouldn't mind giving up such a little amount of where they live to go live somewhere else just for those Tuvaluans to preserve their culture. Fiji looks like the place that it's going to happen. The interesting thing I learned about Fiji of a lady named Oni from Fiji was that I've never researched this, so I'm not sure, that's my only source of information, but they signed treaty. They never got went to war or anything. They got the kings of the land got to keep their land, and the people that colonized there lived on their land or something like that. Yeah, so it's interesting that they still have the beauty. Hopefully they'll let the Tuvaluans come and live on one of their islands. Because it would be a shame to lose such knowledge.
Well, friends, that was Ecotones for this week. I'll see you again next week. Have a beautiful week.